Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Tonight, 2 days before the inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden, the massive security in place and the scare today. Sheltering in place for a time, and news tonight on President Trump and any self-pardon. 25,000 National Guard troops in D.C. for the inauguration. And in a sign of how on edge the nation's capital is, the scare today. Sheltering in place for a time, and tonight here, the new video coming to light. Released by The New Yorker, showing the rioters threatening police, telling them to stand down, and that we are listening to Trump. We're here because of your boss. Rioters hunting party leaders, shouting, "Where is Nancy?" Then inside the Senate chamber, the threatening message for Vice President Pence, saying it's only a matter of time. Much of this now likely evidence in the Senate impeachment trial. Also tonight, federal authorities charging one of the rioters, accusing her of stealing Speaker Pelosi's laptop and then trying to sell it to the Russians. And amid this heightened security, the arrest in the Capitol, the man with an unauthorized credential, a gun, and hundreds of rounds of ammunition. Martha Raddatz with late reporting tonight. President Trump spending his final hours isolated in the White House. What our team is learning tonight about any self-pardon or pardons for his family. The president now planning a military-style salute for himself, not attending the inauguration. Will there be even a phone call to the incoming president-elect? Meantime, President-elect Joe Biden's first plans after taking office, what he will do on his first day. Mary Bruce standing by to go down the list tonight, from the coronavirus to student loans to the Keystone Pipeline and the Paris climate deal. The pandemic tonight nearing a chilling milestone in the U.S., set to reach 400,000 American lives lost. And tonight, the CDC's new and chilling projection and what we've learned on the vaccine front. And the major story overseas tonight, Vladimir Putin's critic Alexei Navalny, who was poisoned and almost died, returning to Russia, detained already, and sending a message out tonight.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on this Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And as we begin what will be another historic week here in America. In 2 days, President-elect Joe Biden will be sworn in. Tonight, President Trump isolated at the White House. His final plans, pardons, and will there be a self-pardon or pardons for his children? What our team is learning tonight. All of this with the nation's capital now a military fortress. And tonight, still new images coming to light, this time from The New Yorker, of what happened during the riot. And perhaps just as significant tonight, what is heard on the videos. Meantime, Washington, D.C. in lockdown, surrounded by fencing and razor wire, tens of thousands of National Guard troops there. And they are now vetting troops amid arrests and concern over any potential for insider threats. A tense moment there at the Capitol today, a rehearsal for the inauguration evacuated after a fire triggered a false alarm. And that new video I mentioned emerging, rioters telling Capitol Police President Trump sent them there, demanding to know where was Speaker Pelosi and Vice President Pence. Law enforcement making dozens of arrests. And the search is on tonight for the woman in this green shirt, Riley June Williams. Authorities have been told she stole a computer from Speaker Pelosi's office and was trying to sell it to the Russians. Tonight, the inauguration is set to go on at the Capitol outdoors as planned. Instead of Americans on the National Mall, tonight, the flags. The mall is closed and secured because of the riots. This is what the president-elect will see when he looks out. We do have a lot to get to this evening, and we begin with the threat, the new video, and the massive effort to keep the president-elect and the vice president-elect safe. ABC's Martha Raddatz leading us off again tonight.
Tonight, a city on edge, armed National Guard manning checkpoints and police boats patrolling the Potomac River. A false alarm today at the Capitol building after that all-too-real siege that prompted this lockdown. This surreal new video from New Yorker reporter Luke Mogelson tracking the mob of pro-Trump rioters climbing the scaffolding, looking like a medieval battle. Once inside, emboldened, telling stunned officers that President Trump had sent them to do this.
We're outnumbered. There's a million of us out there, and we are listening to Trump.
And the chilling search for Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Inside the Senate chamber, insurrection.
There's got to be something in here we can use against.
I think Cruz would want us to do this, so
yeah, absolutely.
I think we're good.
For the first time, we see a lone Capitol police officer in the chambers.
Okay, just want to let you guys know, this is like the sacredest place.
The QAnon follower Jacob Chansley leaving that ominous message on Mike Pence's desk.
It's only a matter of time. Justice is coming.
It's only a matter of time. Justice is coming. And another newly released video shows a Capitol police officer wearing a MAGA hat, begging rioters to help him get to the officers he says are trapped inside the Capitol.
Oh, they can stay there. I just need to get the other officers out.
Oh, you need to get
the
officers
out. They're scared. Yeah.
The two men guide the officer into the Capitol building.
Let them leave!
And with news that at least one off-duty National Guardsman has been arrested for storming the Capitol and other veterans part of the siege, all of the guardsmen are being vetted for possible insider threats.
The FBI is part of it. The Secret Service is part of it. And once they are certain that there's no insider threat, then that soldier, a guardsman or airman, is given a credential.
Meanwhile, federal law enforcement continues to round up rioters. John Schaefer, an Indiana heavy metal musician, turning himself in Sunday. And Robert Gieswein, both men associated with extremist militia groups. A former acquaintance of Riley June Williams, authorities say that's her in the green T-shirt, told them Williams was trying to sell a computer taken from Nancy Pelosi's office to Russian intelligence. Authorities say she's still on the run. And Coy Griffin, a New Mexico County commissioner who leads the group Cowboys for Trump, promised in this meeting to return to D.C. with guns.
I'm going to leave either tonight or tomorrow. I've got a 357 Henry big boy rifle, lever action that I've got in the trunk of my car.
The FBI says Griffin was indeed found blocks from the Capitol on Sunday with his guns. And Wesley Allen Beeler was arrested Friday with a gun in his truck at a security checkpoint. He was trying to get to work at a security job and forgot to leave his gun at home in Virginia.
So let's bring in Martha Raddatz back with us again tonight. Martha, I know hundreds of thousands of tips have now come in. And what's also notable, many of the people actually tipping authorities off.
David, there have been more than 200,000 digital tips and many from family and friends of those who stormed the Capitol. And as you said earlier, David, the rehearsal will continue. We are surrounded by armed troops here on the ground, but several thousand ceremonial troops took part in that inauguration rehearsal today, and it will go on as planned. David?
And you'll be right here with us all week long. Martha, thank you. Meanwhile, President Trump tonight with 36 hours left in office. What our team is now learning about how many pardons are still expected, and will there be a self-pardon or pardons for his children? Here's our chief White House correspondent, Jonathan Carl.
While President Trump was once again nowhere to be seen, First Lady Melania Trump today offered her farewell message to the nation.
My fellow Americans.
In the pre-recorded video, she seemed to allude to the attack on the U.S. Capitol by supporters of her husband.
Be passionate in everything you do, but always remember that violence is never the answer and will never be justified. Use every opportunity to show consideration for another person.
But Mrs. Trump will be the first lady in modern history not to invite her successor to the White House before the inauguration, denying a courtesy to Dr. Jill Biden that Michelle Obama extended to her. Of course, President Trump isn't extending that courtesy to Joe Biden either. Some of Trump's advisors have been pleading with him to at least call Biden and to leave him a note in the Oval Office, a long-standing tradition of outgoing presidents. Shortly after taking office, Trump showed David the note Barack Obama left him.
And this was the letter given to me by President Obama.
We saw that image of him the final morning that he was here, putting the letter on the desk.
Which was, I won't show it to you, read it to you, but a beautiful letter.
Is there a line you can share that struck you most?
There were numerous lines, so well written, so thoughtful.
George H.W. Bush famously left Bill Clinton a note saying, quote, "You will be our president when you read this note. Your success is now our country's success. I'm rooting hard for you." Trump is instead planning a farewell ceremony for himself at Joint Base Andrews with great military fanfare. Then he'll board Air Force One for the last time and head to Mar-a-Lago, where moving trucks were spotted today. Before he goes, Trump is expected to announce about 100 pardons. But sources tell ABC News the president is not expected to pardon himself or any members of his family or any close associates. And then there's the matter of his impeachment trial. Who will lead his defense is up in the air. It had been expected to be Rudy Giuliani. But Giuliani told ABC over the weekend that he's out because he, too, spoke at the rally before the riot.
Let's have trial by combat.
Giuliani says that makes him a potential witness.
All right, so let's get right to John Carl live at the White House tonight. And John, you showed that moment, and boy, it took me back. In the Oval Office right after the last inauguration, President Trump was really so proud of that letter President Obama had left for him. But I guess the question, John, is that tradition of leaving letters for the next president now over?
Well, we'll see, David. I can tell you that several people close to President Trump have urged him to leave a letter to President-elect Biden. Whether or not he does remains to be seen. But this much is already clear. Donald Trump will be the first president, the first outgoing president in more than 150 years, not to attend the inauguration of his successor.
In 150 years. All right, John Carr, thanks to you as well. In the meantime, President-elect Joe Biden tonight, what he now plans to do on day one of his presidency. Here's Mary Bruce on that.
As Washington prepares to usher in the Biden era with less than 48 hours to go, the president-elect is putting the finishing touches on his big speech.
Sir, how's the speech writing going? Have you finished your speech?
Biden spending this Martin Luther King holiday packing boxes at a food pantry in Wilmington with the soon-to-be First Lady Jill Biden. His team is laying out the plan for day one. Biden expected to sign roughly a dozen executive orders, undoing some of Donald Trump's most controversial moves. He will immediately rejoin the Paris Climate Accord, reportedly cancel the Keystone Pipeline, and will reverse the so-called Muslim travel ban, and take the first step in his fight against COVID, mandating masks on federal lands and extending the pause of student loan payments. But Biden's big-ticket items, like that massive $1.9 trillion stimulus plan, will require congressional approval.
There is a lot to do. Some would say that ours is an ambitious goal, but we do believe with hard work and with the cooperation and collaboration of the members of the United States Congress that we can get it done.
Kamala Harris will make history this week as the first black woman and the first Asian American sworn in as vice president. Administering the oath, Justice Sonia Sotomayor, the first woman of color on the Supreme Court. And it will happen on the same spot where that mob of Trump supporters stormed the Capitol. Harris today asked if she had any security concerns.
I am very much looking forward to be sworn in as the next vice president of the United States, and I will walk there to that moment proudly with my head up and my shoulder back.
And she will make history. Mary Bruce, President-elect Joe Biden's inaugural address will also be historic. They all are. But this one will be delivered amid a pandemic, amid this economy, a racial reckoning, and, of course, just days after the deadly riots. So what are you learning tonight? What does he hope to accomplish before the American people on Wednesday?
Well, David, there's no question this will be the most consequential speech of Biden's life. He will be speaking to millions of Americans who are hurting, hard hit financially and grieving, and to many who are just plain angry, including many of President Trump's supporters. He'll be reaching out directly to them, too, as Biden outlines his vision and his plan to try and unite and heal this country. David.
All right. Mary Bruce with us all week as well. Thank you, Mary. And now to the coronavirus. The first case reported in this country was 1 year ago this week. And tonight, the nation now nearing that milestone, 400,000 lives lost. And news on the vaccination effort, here's ABC's Steve Osunsami now.
This week now marks a whole year since COVID-19 first appeared in this country, when the president was saying the disease would be handled.
We have it totally under control. It's one person coming in from China, and we have it under control. It's going to be just fine.
But the new numbers tonight aren't fine. The number of Americans killed by the coronavirus is now nearly 400,000. And the CDC warns that another 100,000 could die in the next month. The disease is overwhelming funeral homes tonight in Los Angeles County. The cemeteries can't keep up. Manuel Lopez Marquez died last week, but his family says they might not be able to bury him for another month and a half.
When we called the cemetery, we were 102 on the waiting line, and it took about 6 to 7 hours to get through this the mortuary.
In hard-hit communities like this one in Yuma, Arizona, they're waiting on new supplies of the vaccine because they don't have enough doses for everyone who is eligible to get one. Pat Parker in Texas is one of the many who says she's desperate to get the shot.
I don't want to die of COVID. It's that simple. I don't want to die of COVID.
In California, they're working through a setback. More than 330,000 doses are on hold until health officials can figure out why a small number of people at a single vaccination center suffered possible allergic reactions after getting the shot.
The risk, which is so small, of a severe allergic reaction, particularly somebody who's never had a history, really is minute compared to the risk of just having COVID.
Diana Canizo says it could have been something else that caused her reaction and says she doesn't want other Americans to avoid the vaccine.
I do have a lot of friends that have heard my story and still went and got their vaccine, and I think that's amazing.
Health officials here at the CDC are now tracking variants of the coronavirus that are more contagious. They point out that the vaccine works against all of this, which is why they underline that an overwhelming number of Americans need to get vaccinated. David?
All right, Steve Ozensami. Steve, thank you. Overseas tonight, Vladimir Putin's fiercest critic, Alexei Navalny, who was nearly poisoned to death, returning to Russia and immediately detained. Well, tonight, his message, and James Longman now from London.
A dangerous gamble for one of Vladimir Putin's most vocal critics, and he was arrested minutes after arriving in Moscow, kissing his wife goodbye. And tonight, Alexei Navalny has now been detained for at least 30 days, prompting outrage around the world. With his supporters outside, Russia's leading opposition activist was brought before a hastily arranged hearing at the police station itself. The judge ruling Navalny had violated parole for an earlier charge. He spoke today in the court, saying he just tore up all the criminal procedure laws and threw them in the trash. Navalny nearly died last year after being poisoned with the extremely toxic chemical weapon Novichok. He fell ill on an aeroplane, blaming the Kremlin for the attack, something they deny. He had this message for his supporters. Don't be afraid. Take to the streets. Don't go out for me. Go out for yourself and your future.
Navalny is being held until a parole hearing later this month, which could mean years of additional jail time. David?
All right, James Longman in London tonight. James, thank you. And when we come back here, the arrest at a major American airport, the man allegedly hiding there for 3 months.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Next tonight here, the man arrested for allegedly living at Chicago's O'Hare Airport. Prosecutors say Aditya Singh was too afraid to fly back to Los Angeles because of the coronavirus, and that he'd been living inside a secure area for 3 months using an airport worker's misplaced credentials. It was quite a game, and then the NFL's two oldest quarterbacks teaming up after the game, 43-year-old Tom Brady, 42-year-old Drew Brees, and Brees' family after the Bucs beat the Saints. Watch this, Brady then throwing a touchdown pass to Brees' son, Baylen. Amid speculation now that Brees will retire, Brees says he's going to take time to think about it. That was a sweet moment. Finally tonight, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., in his own words. On this Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a day of service, in Shillington, Pennsylvania, donating food, in Benton Harbor, Michigan, bringing boxes of food to families in need, all remembering Dr. King's words.
Somewhere we must discover the world over that we must learn to live together as brothers, or we will all perish together as fools.
His final Sunday sermon at Washington National Cathedral, just 4 days before his life was taken.
It may well be that we will have to repent in this generation, not merely for the vitriolic words and the violent actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence and indifference of the good people who sit around and say, wait on time.
Today, Dr. King's daughter, Dr. Bernice A. King, at her parents' gravesite, saying this King holiday has not only come at a time of great peril and physical violence, it has also come during a time of violence in our speech, what we say and how we say it. It is frankly out of control, and we are causing too much harm to one another. Her father once warning about silence, about indifference.
So however dark it is, however deep the angry feelings are and the violent explosions are, I can still sing, we shall overcome. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice.
His words just as powerful today. Good night.